Amen. We ain't just praying for him to rise up. He's talking to us. All right. Now, listen, I just want to expound on this a little, bring you into something personal so you can have an illustration of how to commune with God with things like I exalt thee. When you're saying I exalt thee, what you're saying is you're above everything else. I raise you above everything. I put you above everything. You're in the top position of my heart, my life, my preference, my desire, and you're number one. Your purity, your sincerity, your holiness, I exalt thee. All that you are, I raise above from my heart. It's a heart thing. It's not just a song, I exalt thee. It has meaning. What you're saying is, I raise you above everything. You are above all. You understand? There's something extremely powerful about you being alone. Driving in your car, bedroom, just in the house alone. You could be just catching up on some things. You'd be off that day. You'd be just home. You could just be alone and you're in a place. And this little song, you know, you could sing that thing, I exalt thee. And there's a place where you just get intimate and you just raise your hands to him when nobody's around, guys. Like nobody's around. And I exalt thee. And all of a sudden you're kneeling and then prayer just flows out of your heart like Pastor David knelt and just prayed in that atmosphere. And there's something about that we have access to him like that, where grace meets us and it changes us. Where you really kneel down, where you're like, God, you're above everything in my life, everything in my heart I give to you. And I just thank you. I exalt thee, God, your nature, your character. I want it in me and through me that men might see who you are. Father, thank you. You found someone in me that you can flow through because I exalt thee. And there's meaning to it. There's power to it. Amen? So I want you to release your faith every time you're singing in this corporate setting. I want to acknowledge it because you guys are blessed. I don't know if you realize. Don't ever get familiar with the gift and grace that you guys have a real incredible worship flow here, man. And I'm honest when I say that. I'm not trying to just get you to shout or win your favor. I wouldn't talk cheap like that. I don't know if I've experienced since January that aggressive flow of the heart of God in worship. So make the most of it. Receive it personal. Bring that revelation to your personal life, your personal communion with the Lord. Because if not, you'll gain your Christian identity through being together. And whatever takes place here is just what you'll be in that moment. But when you're apart from that, you won't have anything deep to relate to. So you'll just need to be together in that atmosphere. Oh, I just love my church. Good to love your church. You don't find your identity through the church. You find your identity through the one that lives inside of you. Are you following me? And it's just healthy. What I'm saying is healthy. That's why I don't like these phrases. We make a movement out of everything in the church. The tragedy of making everything a movement is we say, well, this is the new movement. Well, the tragedy is that people that don't have a strong identity will attach to it to try to find themselves in that instead of in him. You follow what I'm saying? So it's just healthy. What I'm saying is healthy. So when I talk like this, I'm not correcting. I'm just pointing you to the light. I'm saying, man, this is, I'm not saying, you know, I don't feel like I ever go to a church to correct people. It's not about where you're not. It's about where you're called. So you don't want to hear somebody talk like I talk and say, boy, I got a long way to go. You need to rejoice and say, man, I got somewhere to go. You know, wow, I see now. I see that clear. I wasn't seeing that clear. Wow, I'm seeing it. So it's not like people say, boy, he sure stepped on my toes. That's not a healthy way to view things. I didn't come here to step on anybody. I came here to show us what we're called to and who we are because of him. Amen? And it must be something amazing because we sure do rejoice and celebrate a lot. So I hope it's more than just what's to come. I hope we're not just celebrating what's around the corner. Man, something's happened now, right? I found out who I am now. I see the reason for being now. Life is good now. Amen? And that's not just Christian hype. There's a truth there because the gospel changes your motive, your perspective. It gives you destiny and helps write your legacy. The gospel gives you a reason for being. Amen? So we're not just surviving. We're not just trying to make it. I understand this is Redemption House, so I understand there's a lot of people that come through the houses that had, you know, past addictions and using us. But see, here's the good news. We're not just trying not to use again. We're being transformed and made brand new. Our goal is not using anymore. Our goal is becoming more like Him and living the destiny that we were created for. That's why there's a redemption. See, because Redemption House, redemption doesn't mean don't use anymore. Redemption means brought back to original value, the fulfillment of all things. So it's a good name, Redemption House. We're not just trying to stop doing what we used to do. We're becoming who we're realizing we've always been created to be, and we're walking out that grace because we're serious. Amen? So I can't make you serious. You can only make you serious. And if you don't feel like you're serious enough, when you aren't being watched or pressed or accountability and all them terms we use, then get alone, get on your knees and ask God to put that thing in your heart and say, God, this is the best I know. I feel like I get alone. I feel like I have weaknesses. I feel like I have susceptibilities. I want to serve you. I want to live for you. I want to be your child. I want to make a difference with my one life. If that's the truth, you can kneel and ask God to burn that thing in you, and I believe He will. That hunger, that desire, that character, that sincerity. Who's ever felt like you lack something in your life, right? And then you tried a little bit, and you mustered up some, and you tried to enforce that thing in your life, and then after a while, it was like, oh, well, you know, and you just kind of left it slip because it just didn't seem to change much, and just kind of ignored it and just kept doing the things that were working and that were good. But there's that thing just, That's that thing I believe you can kneel before God and say, look, I don't know how to make myself more passionate for you. I don't know how to make myself more integral or full of character. I believe you love me. Burn that revelation in my heart and let that revelation change my life. You know, and you have to be careful that while you're praying that, you just don't say, well, until God does that, I'm not going to have any change. You know, there is a place to discipline yourself, and there is a place to just say no sometimes. There is a place to be strong with yourself. I'm probably my best accountability partner ever. You know, I'm my best friend because I keep myself in that place. I don't give myself permission to be less than my conscience says it's truth. You see what I mean? See, now listen, if you don't value yourself, you won't live that way. If you don't value yourself, you won't hold yourself that strong. I think a lot of times we lose a value for ourselves, or we feel like we failed, so we feel like failure. Just because you failed doesn't mean you're a failure. It just means you failed, but you have destiny inside of you. It's like the biggest mistake we make in the church is we think our ability to sin makes us sinner. That's what we think. We think our ability to sin makes us sinners. No, our ability to believe Him and receive righteousness transforms our lives. You follow me? I don't feel like that one sunk real good. See, we're so used to identifying ourselves with everything we've done. But your true identity rests in everything He's done. And until you make that switch, you won't find grace to be changed. You'll just work hard. And the only reason you tried, who's ever tried, who, honestly, this isn't a trap question. It's not a bad answer if you say yes. Who's ever sincerely tried to change something in your life because of the conviction of the Lord? Who in this room? Now that's good news in this sense. Watch. It means you care. It means you're alive inside. And there's something that if you were working in the realm of darkness and deception and the spirit of a lie, what would you do? You'd be threatened by that desire. You'd want to quench that. You'd want to turn that off. You'd want to get somebody to get discouraged instead of encouraged. Right? So you'd work in a way in the mind, in the feelings, in the identity to try to take out that little thing that was smoldering and flickering, that little flame. You'd just try to get that thing to go out. Say, oh, well, I tried. Oh, I tried. It just doesn't work for me. I guess I won't ever get it out. That's its desire. Who's ever got those thoughts already? Who's got the woe is me thing ever going? Or the, you know, well, I just don't, man, if I was going to change, I'd have changed by now. I've tried hard. I don't know where God is. I don't know why He doesn't just change me. And all of a sudden we start talking in a way where we're buying into something we're not created for. Because here's the deal, guys. This gospel we celebrated is never going to change. He already came. He already shed His blood. He already spent the nights in the grave and raised from the dead. So the message through Him about us is already settled. We're worth His blood, and there's something about us we need to see. Because God thinks dying for you is worth you living. So come on. So to get discouraged is utter deception, because the gospel will never change. The "I love you" from God will never go away. He already came. He already did it. He already settled it. He says, "I know who you are. You have great destiny, great purpose, great created value, and I'm willing to pay any price to restore that thing. Now run with me." You can't let anything own your heart, steal your heart, your motivation, now that Christ has come. You understand what I'm saying? Because to be discouraged means you're thinking for yourself in a very singular way. You're making it all about you, but you're singing it's all about Him. Come on! If you're singing it's all about Him, one of the signs that it's really all about Him, you don't even understand discouragement, because it's never about you if it's all about Him. Come on, if it's all about Him, it's never about you. People say, "Well, everybody's going to get discouraged from time to time, brother. You're speaking out of balance." No, I'm speaking truth. I'm just speaking outside of the wisdom of the world, and that seems out of balance sometimes. His way just doesn't seem to be the way we were taught by. Well, everybody's going to have their moments. That's why you have yours. You have a platform for them. You have a grid for them. You have a belief system for them. No, you got to get rid of your moments. Get into His moments. Are we all right? What? Is this okay? Are you all right? Come on, be real with me, guys. Now, I know bad things happen at times. I know we're faced with trials and crunches, and sometimes you'll lose a job that you just loved and thought you'd never lose, and for a moment you're not sure where you're going to go, but let's get real. Is God bigger than employment? Is He bigger than an employer? So where does faith kick in and say, "Look, as quick as a door closed, a door will open, because I've surely found favor in Your sight, and I ain't losing no sleep over this thing. I ain't popping a pill. I ain't getting depressed. This thing ain't about me. This thing's about You and me." Why do people lose a job and fall apart? It's because we reveal in falling apart, we really don't know what we sing. We really haven't become what we've declared. I'm just being real. Is it all right if I talk straight? Come on. So if you get discouraged, "Well, pray for me, man. I just got laid off." There's no faith in that. You're just telling the devil, "Man, you got me shook with one blow. Just give me a couple more blows and I'm out." You're actually encouraging adversity. You're actually positioning yourself for more assault. Because you're revealing you don't get it. It's really about you. Come on, be straight with me. If you're discouraged, who is your focus on? And until that shifts, when you pray, your prayers are really amiss your own desires, needs, lusts, and wants. So even when you pray, it can be self-serving that way. You know what I'm saying? Come on, discouragement. It says, "Consider Him." You say, "Where's scripture on this, brother?" Everybody gets discouraged. It's because most of us don't really totally understand this thing when we really look. We've made this thing about us, and if we're not careful, we'll make this gospel all about God blessing us, care of us, just providing for us, instead of Him transforming us so that we look like sons. Come on, if you're in this for what God can do for you, you're going to have a rocky ride. If you're just a Christian for your sake, you're already in trouble. You're a Christian for His namesake. You're a Christian to reveal Him in the face of all. You're a Christian so that when people look at your life, they get a real good look at who He is. Follow me? Come on, if this thing just becomes about me, I'm going to be trapped like I was before Christ, feeling sorry for myself, just needing sympathy. "Well, you don't know, but it's been tough. You don't know what I'm going through." Man, what about what He went through? Man, He healed everybody that He touched, and everybody that touched Him was healed. He did good and delivered, and they still blasphemed and backbit and gossiped. And it seemed like the guys closest to Him, when the rubber met the road, didn't have enough to lay down their life for Him, even though they said they would, and they took off. And it just seemed like Jesus didn't get a fair shake from folks the whole way through. Come on, be real. He wasn't here for him. He was here for us. In the wilderness, they wandered and complained and groped around and got destroyed by the thousands, and they wandered and died and never reached their destiny. Jesus went into the same wilderness fulfilled in 40 days, what they failed in 40 years. Why? Because he had a different motivation. He didn't go into the wilderness for himself. He went in for the Lord and for us. They went in for themselves and died there. He came out anointed with power. There's a big difference. 40 years and dying and never reaching your promise, 40 days ministered to by angels, anointed with the Spirit and power. There's a big difference. There's a big difference in outcome. But there's one little difference seemingly in motive. They went in thinking for themselves, where are you, God? Where have you been, God? What's up with this? Where's the milk and honey? Moses, you said, you're a terrible leader. God, you ain't good. They said that. Because every day they woke up in the same place, but he was there. Supernatural provision was on the ground. You were 6 and your little shoe was that big. Now you're 16 and your shoe's that big. That's freaky good, man. That's like, what? I know you girls want variety and you want all the different colors and the different, but you got the same shirt when you were 8 and now you're 18 and it looks just as bright and it grew with you. That's like, you're amazing. There's some things to grab from this, or it's just about us and fashion and variety and this ain't good enough. So when they started to loathe the worthless bread, the bread was a type and shadow. It was pointing to the bread that was to come. It was pointing to Christ. And they started to loathe the worthless bread. And what they were really saying is, your answer for provision and your answer for our well-being isn't good enough for us. That's like saying the gospel's not enough. Man, when you get that desire, guys, in your heart, and everything around that desire makes sense to complain, and you just want to complain because you've got all the facts laid out, and complain wants to come out of your mouth. Man, take a breath, take a big step back, and go, whoa, the only reason I complain, I'm thinking right. Because there ain't nothing to complain about. I am forgiven of all my sins, mercy, triumphed over judgment. God has swallowed up death with life, and he has given my name into the book of life forever, and he will never change his mind about me. This thing ain't going to stay the same. I ain't. You see what I mean? Because if you complain, you got your eyes on you. Who are you thinking about if you complain? Come on, there's people that come in to serve in a ministry like this, and they find themselves complaining with leadership. You gotta watch why you're complaining. Look, leadership, he didn't pay me to say this, and I wouldn't say this because we talked about anything, but leadership doesn't need those kind of ways. Doesn't need the. We're hopefully mature enough in leadership to handle that kind of stuff. But I promise you, almost across the board, it's weakness. There's such thing as good suggestions. There's such thing as good insight. But when it becomes complaining and frustration, or I ain't getting my fair shake, or but I want to do that, or hey, you never acknowledge me, man, we need to grow up and understand why we're doing what we're doing. It's because of love, and it's for his name's sake, not our name. I'm a firm believer of this, and nobody really has to believe me, but one day we're going to find out. I think this thing is right. There doesn't ever have to be hurt and frustration in the church again. And even if it rises up, we should be humble enough and surrendered enough to work out a resolve without a. So even if people are mishandling and mistreating, and even if a leader's doing something wrong, why does it always lead to the chaos that I see it lead to? Because we're still way alive, and we got a lot of other intentions. I don't know why I'm saying that real strong, but I'm saying that real strong. You guys follow me? Just really guard your hearts. We're a family. We're a people. You knelt down and prayed and it hit me. And we're singing, I exalt thee. And then you're crying out, we're a people. God, let a generation bow before you. Let there be a people. I'm thinking, well, we're that. We're that people. Now I want you, every one of you, to take that. Every one of you, take that seriously. Look, no matter where life has found you in the last whatever, there's a time to be born, and here you are with a heart beating. There's a time to be born. That means your time. So the will of God is revealed in the fact. No matter what mess, and I'm not making light of the mess. I know there's sometimes things be worked out. I realize people do things, lose their children. People do things and lose their spouse, their home, and all their stuff. I understand that. But it's only unredeemable when you let go of hope and make it about you. When you understand that God is bigger than any failed decision, any bad decision, any wrong decision you made, and you begin to surrender and submit your life to Him in the new light of truth of why you're alive, I'm telling you, grace will go crazy. But complaining, feeling sorry for yourself, or just trying to save face or gain faith. You guys all right with where I'm at here right now? I'm just trying to... Stuff that comes on my heart. I don't ever really have a plan. I thought I had a little bit of one, but that thing, I don't even remember what it was. Honestly, I don't even remember what it was. I got up here and just started talking. So don't let yourselves be disheartened, please. Hebrews 12:3 says that, consider him who received such hostility against himself, sinners, at least you, weary. There's some things you're going to face and endure. There's some times people are going to be hostile. You didn't even create them. Sure you're not. Make sure you're already changed by him. That clear and cover that with love. You guys follow me? It says, consider him. Hebrews 12:3. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself. It hit him personally in his being, his physical body. Consider him who endured this incredible hostility. At least you have a right to say it. At least you come up with natural human reason. So if you're discouraged, you're not considering him, you're considering you. Fair enough? So is the Bible teaching you that it's possible to live without being discouraged? When a minister's discouraged, it's because their dream, they're not seeing their dream being fulfilled. They're not seeing their vision carried out. They're taking it personal. Instead of carrying it out for the kingdom, they personalize it and it becomes their dream and their vision. And then they get discouraged in ministry, not work the way they fall. And then it's all about them in ministry instead of ministry in them. Are you guys all right? Huh? Is that good? Come on. Look, I haven't been saved forever. I wish I was. I've been saved for 19 years. It's not a super long time, but I think it's long enough to learn some of this stuff. Because what I just told you there, like, I don't know what discouragement in ministry even would look like. Like, I can't even comprehend. It's because this mentality I'm preaching, mindset I'm preaching to, is in me. Like, I never wake up. Like, the gospel's taught me how to never wake up for me. You know how some of us have been taught to wake up to last thing? God. It's a whole lot healthier to just wake up and know that you're created in his image to make known his name, and you're already for me, and your mercy is new every morning. God, I just thank you. I have grace that abounds to look like you, grace that abounds to think like you, grace that abounds to shine like you. God, what a good day I'm going to have at work today. You get what I'm saying? That sure beats praying for a half hour for favor, for your boss to act different, for your coworker to change. Probably a little better if you'll just get a grip. It's probably a little easier on yourself. Amen. Understanding why you're alive. So these little things are so important. So when you're singing them back, I keep thinking about this song when you guys went into I Exalt Thee and how applicable that was to what we're talking about right now. Man, you're making his way above every other way that you've ever known. And you're intent on that, man. You're set on that. Do you know that Jesus in Matthew 5 came and took a whole chapter to say, you stay, but I stay? You stay, but I stay? Some translations say, you have heard it said, but I say, you have heard it said, but I say. What's he saying? He's saying, you ain't been saying what I'm saying. Isn't that what he's saying? He's saying, you ain't saying what I'm saying. So what happened there? Why aren't we saying what he's saying? Because we've been taught through the fall of man by the wisdom of the world, by the way that seems. Man, it seems right. And the more you hash it out at the lunch table, boy, it seems. And all of a sudden you get this case built, you get this line of thinking built, and it justifies everything you're feeling. And then you talk to somebody that would feel like you if that was them, and now you got support. Come on. And I'm serious, you talk to the wrong folks. You just talk until somebody goes, no way. Really? They did what? Oh man, that's just wrong. That's just wrong. They did what? Yeah, they. And then the little tear fills in your eye because now you're feeling more confident to be hurt. And all of a sudden you got a support system. Now you got somebody that agrees with your. You lick each other's wound. And nobody will get healed. And you're guaranteeing tomorrow is yesterday until that thing changes here. Not changes here, till your mindset changes, till you get rid of that permission to be all that. Are you guys following me? Because watch this. This stuff I talk about all the time is the little foxes that spoil the precious fruit of the vine. Who'd you ever see making some progress? Who you ever see that's really starting to do some good, and you're like, man, they're really growing. And all of a sudden, something just seems to go, and it's like, man, what happened to them? Where'd they go? Why? Are they, what? Who's watched people go like this, and they're growing, and then all of a sudden they just, or even just plane out and just level off? You guys, you follow? You let something come in and give permission for something outside. Whether it's a desire, whether it's a hurt. It doesn't always have to be offense and hurt. It could be a desire. You have to challenge that thing because it's there to steal you away. It's there to hurt you, to destroy you. It's there to take away what God is building in you. It's there to rob you of destiny. He says God doesn't tempt any man. He's not out there, let me just put this in their heart and see what they do with it. He's not tempting any man with sin. It says we're led away by our own desire. It's in James chapter 4. You're led away by your own desire. I wonder if his ways are our way. I wonder if our desires through intimacy, relationships, surrender, and prayer become his desires. Wonder if there's nothing in me to lead me away. Wonder if all of a sudden I don't even know why I used to covet that. Wonder, don't even know why I was drawn by that. Wonder if I grow to a place where I look back to where I used to be weak and I don't even know what I saw there. Do you think that's possible? Do you think it's possible to become a new creation? Does any of this language sound familiar? Is it possible to become a new creation? Old things pass away. Behold, all things are new. How about renewed in the spirit of your mind? How about not conformed to the world, but transformed by the... So we're not biting our lip trying to live better. This isn't some Christian discipline. It's thinking different. Wonder if it's that simple. That your belief system begins to change and you start seeing what you didn't see before. I say, but you say. Wonder if he takes away the what you say so that all you see is what he says. Wonder if that becomes your way. Are you, did you follow me? This thing is, wonder if it's that simple. And then we can't be that simple. Paul says, I'm concerned for you, O Christ. I'm concerned that like Eve was by the serpent, you have been from the sin. I promise you, I say this everywhere I go. I feel special everywhere I go and say it.
not rhetorical, but I mean not religious. If God can change the way you
think, the gospel's design, it's light. Light. The entrance way of light is His Word. The entryway of light. The Word is light. He's the light of the world. He's the Word of God. We were in darkness and the light came. What's He talking about? He's not just talking about ta-da, like a bright light. He's talking about truth that makes men free. He's talking about being blind. Now we see. You get it? Light. The Word is light. You get it? So He wants to bring us into the light and get us to see what He's always saying and take away what we used to say. Because the truth is, I know it sounds funny, but it's true. We were all homeschooled in the wrong home. We were all taught by teachers that are no teachers at all. Jesus said, let no one be your teacher. You have one teacher. He's the Christ. Why do we let so many other things instruct us even after we're saved? Like feelings, emotions, others. How many times have we let life speak louder than truth and become a product of our circumstances? You ask a Christian how they're doing and they tell you the three biggest challenges that they're facing right now. That's the answer to how you're doing. What's that telling you? You're becoming a product of what you're going through instead of a product of what He is. That you look into this thing for truth, that it becomes swallowed up. How many Christians have we talked to in our lives? Man, how's it going? Pray for me. Really going through a hard time. Pray for me. Holding in. I'll be all right. I really need it. It sounds Christian. It sounds spiritual. But it's a big alarm. Like, whoa, it means you're identifying how you're doing by how things are going. Right. And you'll constantly be up for grabs. You'll live a roller coaster mentality. No, you're as good as the one inside of you. That's how you are. You're as good as the life in you, not the life around you. And only will you ever handle the circumstances around you through the truth of the life that's in you. And when you see it's not about you, but it's about manifesting Him in the pressure, in the injustice, in the unfairness, or in the just straight up trial. Who knows we all go through? Who knows we all have? Peter said, don't you think it's strange? Your brothers all over the world are going through the things you're going through. Now, I know he's talking about persecution when he was talking about that, but isn't that real? You know, what's unknown to man? Everybody in this room has been going through some different things at times and tried with different things, but if you really all tell the stories, we almost all could relate to one or the other or some of this stuff. So don't think it's strange, Peter's saying. What's he saying? Don't personalize this and make this about you. Isn't that why he's saying it? Don't think it's strange. What he's saying is, don't you get discouraged. Don't you disconnect. Don't you make this all about me. Don't you say, woe is me. Why is God letting this happen to me? Ooh, that's a dead giveaway, huh? How many people have said that in the church? They say, oh, why are you letting this happen to me, God? And you're just telling the devil himself, man, whatever you're doing, keep doing it. It's working fine. A few more shots, you'll have me down. I'll tap out. I'm out. Well, I'm sure it's either you're going to tap out or you're going to sleep, one or the other. Man, I don't know where I'm going here, but are we all right? Are you all getting somewhere? We got to change the way you think. We got to change the way you think. And I want you to look at that. I want you to see this real quick. Okay. Because we want to grow on and mature, go on and mature and grow up, right? We don't want to just want to celebrate that one day we're going to heaven. Heaven's inside of us, guys. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's here. It's on the earth. You're to go preach saying the kingdom's here. Where is it? You're looking at it. It's the kingdom of God is in me. I'm not looking here. I'm not looking there. It's within me. This isn't hype. This is Jesus' words. Jesus is telling us that, look, I came and brought my kingdom, and in a little here I'm going to get crucified and put my blood on the mercy seat, and that kingdom's coming in you in the person of Holy Spirit. And you're going to go preach saying the kingdom's here. It doesn't mean you're going to carry a bullhorn down the street and go, the kingdom's here. People will just lock you up. They won't get a thing out of that. But I'll tell you what they'll get a thing out of: when you manifest the kingdom, when you walk in love, when you show mercy, when you make peace, when you live encouraged in the midst of major discouragement all around you. Come on, people are in disarray. People are scared. People are afraid for their lives. Be real with me. And the church is to be sanctified and set apart and not live that way. We're not to fear. Whatever you fear, you have zero authority over. You can pray at it all you want. It's going to sit there and look at you. If you fear something, you've got zero authority over it. Now watch this. If you're living for yourself in any way and thinking for yourself, that's where you're vulnerable to fear. Because you have self-centered desire, self-preservation. It leads to fear. When you love not your own life unto death, when you're not thinking for yourself, fear has no place to attach because it's not about you. I'm just so afraid I'm going to get laid off. I'm just so afraid I'm going to get laid off. Oh my God. And you're praying for like 3 months and you're just not even hard to say, I'm just so afraid I'm going to get laid off. They said they're going to have this big layoff. I'm just so afraid I'm going to get laid off. Come on. I know Christians live that way at times. And it's like, man, what Job feared the most came upon him. See, everybody just talks about God taking from him or the devil doing something. But Job went in every day, afraid for his kids, made sacrifices, afraid for his kids, afraid for his kids, afraid for his kids. And guess what happened to his kids? I know we don't like talking like that because we can't. Then people get convinced. Say, you mean my so-and-so might have died because of me? No, it was my fault. Oh! And you can't even preach the truth sometimes because we'll hear it in condemnation rather than grow and mature. I'm not saying that everybody that lost a child is because they feared they'd lose their child, so their child was sure to go. I'm not saying that. But it does say that what Job feared the most came upon him. So here's the thing. It's not willful. It's not evil. It's not something you intended. It's something that seemed right. It seemed right. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its way leadeth to... Come on. Are you guys following me? So there's no condemnation in that. That's in all our getting, Proverbs 4. Not some getting, in all our getting, get understanding. So if we can't talk plain because of fear of condemnation, now we're in a jam. Well, I don't want to hear the gospel clear because then I'll feel bad for the things that... I've preached already and I've had a few people write and email and call and say, man, I heard what you're saying, but now I feel so bad because if I'd have known that, this probably wouldn't have happened. So I'm the one that allowed that to happen. And I'm like, man, you might have been positioned in deception, but you didn't arrogantly, willfully... blatantly do that? Don't you think there's some ways we were taken advantage of by the devil himself and by things because of the things we didn't know? Yeah. So in all our getting, get what? So if bad things came through that, let's look all the more for redemption, not regress back into, oh man, whatever, and then let all the more destruction come, and then 3 years from now you have more reason to be condemned because you have a bigger stack of stuff. Are anybody listening? Yeah. Come on. This thing has happened. I've watched people as I've pastored. I've watched them and they're 25 and now they're 30. And I wasn't there the whole way through, but then now they're 35 and they're talking about when they were 25 and 30. Now they're 40 and it seems heavier because it's so much later. So it's too late now, or I can't get going now, or it's like my life's half past. Do you see the trap of the devil? To just ho-hum you, woe is me you, to a place as time passes, then time's even worked against you, because now you don't have time to think right. Time to get on track. Time to make a life for it. Time to have a family or whatever. So then you're just driven by that thing that's not. And all of a sudden you're 50. I've met a lot of folks in their 50s that have nothing. I mean, nothing to their name. In the natural, And that thing eats them and eats them because their whole life it came upon them to just live a certain way. And then one day they realize, I'm 55, I ain't got nothing. Nothing. And that thing eats them to where they feel like they're hopeless and they can't go on. Man, you can have him. Why don't you start with the things that matter most and get him first? And then sincerely surrender and submit when nobody's looking and kneel before him and just get him. Come on, just get him and let him get you. Because what's 55 in him look like? A whole lot better than 55 without him. Because you might say, well, I've got nothing, but you're starting with him. And you're not going to get him so you can get a bunch of stuff, but so you can see clear and live the rest of your life fruitful and mark history or leave a legacy. Or you're just going to, woe is me, oh man, dumb me, 55, nothing, 50, I got no hope now, I'll be 60 in a few years, I still got nothing. And then you reduce yourself to that as your identity instead of the redeeming power of God. Because you have yet to see what your life can be when you become in Him. You follow what I'm saying? So some of these mindsets are so destructive, man, but here's the catch with them. They seem right. They seem right. Now, I say this all the time because it's the only barometer I really know to convey that the Holy Spirit's ever clearly gave me to. And I think it's simple and it works. If the way you're thinking doesn't encourage and edify your life, it cannot be the Lord. If the way you're thinking has a dead end to it, if the way you're thinking dulls your heart, if the way you're thinking concerns you, makes you afraid, puts worry in you or makes you feel bad, if it doesn't build up or edify your life, the way you're thinking cannot be the wisdom of God. How's that for a simple barometer? So if the way you're thinking isn't building you up and encouraging your heart, it cannot be the Lord. Who's ever worked in a mindset where, yeah, but, oh man, yeah, but, and all of a sudden you had all your facts laid out. And it seems to make so much sense, and it seemed like the way it is, but that line of thinking produced no life in God in you. That's a sure sign you're being deceived by the way man thinks and by the enemy himself. Make sense? Because Jesus is life-giving. Come on. Do you think Jesus would be like, oh, bummer. Bummer. Do you think Jesus would be like that? Do you think Jesus would like heal a whole bunch of people in the city and find out they were calling him a demon-possessed Samaritan behind his back and he's like, really? That's the best, that's what they got out of that? That I'm a demon-possessed Samaritan? Like nobody's even rejoicing and happy that I did all those miracles? And I mean, what are the people that are healed even thinking? What did they say? Did they say anything? Come on. Go with that. Come on. Could you see Jesus like thinking like that? Well, if they feel that, I don't even know why I should even go back to that town. I don't even know if I want to heal anybody else. If people aren't going to appreciate the good thing I do and they're going to call my good bad, then why even do good if it's going to turn out as bad? And all of a sudden, Jesus is being ruled and decided and fashioned by man. That's what happens to people every time they think that. They become a product of what men are or aren't saying instead of what's already been said through the Son. Could you imagine Jesus in a little mindset like that? Could you see him sitting by the campfire on the Mount of Olives with the disciples? And he says, who do men say that I am? Well, some say, they say what? If you're going to ask who men say you are, you better know and be secure. Well, I'm glad you asked, Jesus, because this has been bothering me, because some say you're a demon-possessed Samaritan and that you... In fact, back in our hometown on the streets, they're saying you're loco, that you're Mary's boy, and you're saying you're from above, and they watched you grow up, that you're Mary's boy. You're on a trip. They said you're a cult leader. They said, what? Yeah, but remember when I healed, and I did a good thing. Remember I turned all that water into wine? They must have drank too much. You know, but all of a sudden, he's analytical. Could you even picture Jesus being analytical? You know, people say, well, I'm very analytical. Don't boast in that if it's talking you out of truth. You know, people say, well, I'm very analytical. I'm like, okay, maybe you're not. Maybe you think you, maybe you analytically.
Oh, true.
Come on. There's seminaries out there that say, don't let anybody infringe on your right to rationalize and reason that you've been given all that by God. We better get a better teaching on that in these seminaries. You were never given the gift from God to talk yourself out of Him. That came from the fall of man. Reason? Yeah, in God, what shall we say then? What shall we say then? If God is for us, who can be against us? I mean, if God didn't spare His own Son, but freely gave Him all, delivered Him up for us all, how will He not, through that same Son, give us all things? That's a reasoning in the Lord. You see what I'm saying? That, but God, who's rich in mercy, there's a reasoning in God that's healthy, that brings life. But there's a reasoning that we've been accustomed to and taught by and trained by, if you will, growing up, that gives you a reason to be less than full of faith. Agreed? And Jesus wants that changed and removed. I promise you. He never gave you the ability to talk yourself out of Him. So that would be like Jesus. That would be like Jesus carrying the cross. Here's what I'm talking about. Let me give you a good example. He's beat beyond description. That's already pretty bad. You're beat beyond recognition. You're not just 39 stripes. The Bible says marred more than any of the sons of men. That means the worst whooping man ever put on man, Jesus looked worse. That's what that means. Marred more than any of the sons of men. That means no one was ever battered more than He. Come on, that's intent. So that's already bad enough, guys. You're carrying your own cross now. You're going to die on it. You're carrying it to the hill. They just released Barabbas instead of you, and he's a murderer and somebody that starts conspiracies and stuff. He's not a good citizen. He's not an upright citizen in the moment. He doesn't have a good track record. And the people that He healed and set free and delivered and did nothing but good for yelled out Barabbas' name instead of His and said, crucify Him. That's not a good day in American flesh. Especially, it might be a worse day in American gospel flesh. Because you've done all this for the Lord and you lay down. Where are you, God? And why aren't you protected? And I thought you loved me. I'd be like Jesus. And in His mind, He's thinking, man, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve a bit of this. I've done nothing but good. I've been there for people countless times. I've gone the extra mile. I've laid down my life. I healed and delivered and set free. I just can't get this Barabbas thing out of my head. Barabbas, are you kidding me? They're going to release Barabbas instead of me? They love him more than me? What have I done so wrong that they would treat me this way? How can't they see? Are they that blind? Can anybody be that blind? Well, the truth is, if they're that blind, they'll never see. Because if they didn't see by now, they ain't gonna see. So this is stupid for me to finish this out and die on this cross, because these people don't deserve it and ain't worth it, and they're never gonna change. That's rationale. And you're hurt, and you're just talking to a friend like that. They did what to you? Yeah, they did this and that. And you went all that out of your way. Yeah, and they didn't appreciate. No. Well, you need to get out of there quick, because they don't appreciate it. They're just using you. You ain't no doormat. And you didn't. And all of a sudden, you got all these rights in you. And all of a sudden, this religion thing's on you instead of a transformed life. Are you guys with me? I ain't gonna be no doormat. Was Jesus a doormat? Or was He the living epistle of love? Was He love expressed? Was He amazing? Come on. Are you okay? Are you okay, Pastor? He's manifesting. Come on, this is the stuff Holy Spirit's been teaching me ever since I've been saved. And he's always shown me that these things are the little foxes. They're little subtle things that don't get exposed because they seem right. They seem right, and most of us agree with them in the moment. Because the feelings say yeah. The emotions say yeah. And you can find enough people that agree because they felt that way too. Come on. It'd be like Jesus breaking the bread at the Last Supper. And he's got the cup and the bread and he's about to die unjustly. He deserves no death. He's done nothing to deserve death. And his men are all sitting there saying, "We'll die for you." And he already knows they're all going to scatter when the shepherd is struck. He has foreknowledge of all this. He just saw it in prayer. And there's John laying his head on his chest. "I love you." And Peter, "I'll die for you." And all the rest saying, "We will too." And he's looking around. And if he was like men, he said, "You guys, I've been praying. I saw everything in prayer. Y'all going to run like a bunch of chickens. Bunch of religious deceived. I poured my life out into you for 3 years. And this is what I get out of it? I don't know if I could ever trust people again. I don't know about this pastoring thing. And I don't know if I even want a church because people are so unreliable." Come on. You bring Jesus. His experience of the Last Supper into common day ministry. You just got a million hurt pastors and leaders and a bunch of people that we can't even see now. Clear? But isn't it amazing? Jesus, when he broke the bread, he had all that foreknowledge and he didn't even hesitate. He just broke the bread and said, "This is my body. It's being broken for you." You know, you bring that into common day ministry. You're ready to break the bread. You're trying to be noble, spirit-led. And you're looking at Judas and you're looking at Peter and you see Peter's denial. And you're looking at John and you see John running. The one that Jesus loved. Running for his life. And all of a sudden you go to break that bread and your lips trembling.
"I can't believe you guys. I laid my whole life down for you. You all say you'll die for me, but you're all going to run. I know it. You're going to run. Just face it. You love yourselves way more than you love me. Oh, John, you lay your head on me and say, 'I love you.' Yeah, you love yourself way more than me.
Come on." You can't even picture Jesus doing that. Because we know who he is, but he said he's in us. Come on. You can't even picture Jesus doing that. When I put those words in Jesus' mouth, it sounds foolish and hilarious. Those words ought to sound just as foolish and hilarious in your mouth because you're made for his image. And we're the body of
Christ.
So why do we give permission to believe things that don't produce life? Why do you need to have a right if that right isn't producing him? Sometimes we are right, but being right doesn't make it right. Come on. Sometimes you realize things are wrong, but you overcome evil with good. You don't repay. It's not just about right versus wrong. If God judged us right versus wrong, he's right and we're wrong. And he'll always be right and we'll have always been wrong. God's way more redemptive than that. He removes the wrong by judging us righteously. By seeing us apart from the wrong. To give us the right to live past and above the wrong. He takes the wrong away to lay the platform for you. You get it? Now, if you just see people for wrong, then you see people for wrong. You need to see people righteously so you know they're more than what they did wrong. And if we didn't have that potential, we wouldn't be worth dying for. The cross would be confusing. And there's a lot of people that don't understand the love and beauty of the cross because they don't feel good about themselves and they're just mystified wondering why God would bother dying for them. He didn't die for you to remain the same. He died for you because he sees you different than what you've produced. He knows who you really are. He sees you change. You get it? Love was never intended to be a mystery. The love of God was never designed to be preached like we've preached it. like some mystery, like why would God consider us? He made us for his image. We have destiny inside of us. We're actually the home of God. We're where he wants to live. Not where he has to live, where he wants to live. Sin evicted him from his home. Read your Bible. So he dealt with sin to move back in. And not just to move back in, but to take away every effect that sin created and caused and make the house brand new. Do you see how intent God was to live inside of humanity? He made man to manifest him. He made us in his image. I have to wrap up here. Watch this. That was good. That was Holy Ghost. No, I'm shut down on time, buddy. That was good. What's that? Oh, yeah? Are we in the stall thing? I can do the stall thing very well. Very well. Very well. Let me get this real straight with you guys, and then we'll close, and then we'll pick up, because I think we're doing a bunch of stuff this weekend. We got a bunch of time together, right? But watch this. Just to close on a high note of something that I want you to get all in your hearts, especially, well, whether you've ever heard me or not before. It's Peter says in 2 Peter 1, he said, after a whole chapter of amazing revelation, he said, I write these things to you, brethren, even though you know them and are established in them. So why did he bother writing? He said, because I think it's safe to stir you by reminding. He wants you to continue in the truth and keep seeing it. He wants you to take Hebrews 2, earnest heed of the things you've heard, lest they slip away. See, because if you don't continue in the truth, something's going to try to eat your lunch, buy you out, sell you cheap. And all of a sudden, you'll entertain a mindset that's logical, but it's not Jesus. All of a sudden, you'll entertain a mindset that seems right, but it doesn't produce life. So here, let me just share this. This is where I'll close with for this session. Man's on the earth for one reason, according to the Word of God. Now, you can opt out and say, well, I don't believe the Word of God. That's anybody's business. I don't think you're here because you're making that decision. So I can talk plainly to you on that. The Word of God teaches the only reason man is on the earth is for the image of God. So if you pursue your life apart from pursuing his image, it's counterproductive to your created value. It's like putting metal in a microwave. A microwave wasn't made for metal. You weren't made for anything but his image. That's why Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him first deny himself. Why? You were never made for yourself. You weren't made for just provision. You weren't just made for honor. You weren't just made for blessings. You were made for his image. The number one purpose of the gospel is to qualify men once again to bear witness of his image. To get them out of the old into the new. So old things could pass away. Watch this. Watch this. See, it's very important because in the circle of the church today at large, especially a major portion of TV ministry is all catering to the listener, their well-being, their feelings, their circumstances, their breakthrough, their need in the moment. It's actually producing in the long run a stronger stronghold of self-conscious self-centeredness than before we were Christians, if we're not careful. Because now we have rights and we're reminding God. Be very careful with that thing that's out there. It's putting the focus on us. Corinthians doesn't say that he's for us. It says that we're for him. He made us for his image. And the joy of our created value is that we can bear witness of all the beauty that we say he is. Everything we celebrate him and sing him to be, he wants inside of us. So he made the beauty of who he is to reside in us, and he made us to house that and make that known, to be one with him. to be one with him. We are not the servants of the Lord. We are made to be one. He said, I no longer call you servants. I call you friends. One with him. I and you, you and me. Do you get it? So the whole reason we're alive, the whole reason there is man on the earth, is to bear witness of the image of God. So the cross isn't a prayer to send you to heaven. The cross is what was necessary so heaven could come back inside of you. And you could once again be one with him who knows no sin.
Do you get it?
And you can live by the Spirit because the flesh has been crucified in him. Does this make sense? So living your life apart from that one truth I just shared with you, trying to be a Christian for any other reason than that main point, you're going to confuse yourself and your Christian life's going to be like this. And it's not taught enough, and I'm not being arrogant when I say that. I just know it's not taught enough. I was taught my whole life when I was growing up that Jesus died on the cross because I was a sinner. And then it was made a point that I was always going to sin and I ought to be glad he died. And it was confusing to me, and I never saw the beauty of his love. I was more confused. Why would he die for me? Why does he even want me in heaven? Nobody ever taught me Matthew 18. Nobody ever taught me that he came to save that, not who, that which was lost. What was lost? My creative value, my destiny, the image of God in me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, see? See, I'm not continuing to sin. I was lost, now I'm found. I'm not continuing to not see. I was blind, now I see. Now I know why I'm alive. Now I understand why I came. That's why there's always zeal in me every time you see me. That's why there's passion in me. That's why I'm excited every time you see me. It's not because my circumstantial life is always rosy. It's because the truth has come and made me free.
So I don't know how to be anything else. You get it? You do ya? Come on.
Don't be afraid you act like me. Just get it.
Okay? You don't have to act like me. Just act like the best you.
But what I'm saying is once you see this thing, nothing else, you won't entertain anything else. It shields you and protects you. He's your rock and your defense. That's what this means. We just think he's always coming to fight off the enemy and no, he's my rock and my defense. What is the truth? What I see, the light that surrounds me. In him, I live and move. Have my being.
To get what all these scriptures really mean, we've made it all about him blessing us and having a better day and
finding the best sale. Light stay green, Shabba. Woohoo! You know? Don't take that parking spot, Shakatarabakasa. Woohoo! You know? We've made it about a lot of other stuff. Let me reiterate this quickly. The reason we're on the planet is for his image. And it all goes back to Pastor David kneeling, crying out that this generation would bow before him and understand that we are a people, the people of God. And yes, your life matters and your circumstances do matter, but trying to get through your circumstances without this truth, how's that work? It doesn't work. And I promise you, your circumstances won't seem as intense from the position of this truth. Somebody doing you wrong won't be the end of your day and the violation of your heart and the breaking of your soul. It'll actually be the release of mercy and tears and prayer from the most healthy place you've ever been when you see what I'm saying. And all of a sudden, people doing you wrong just brings the best out of you. People doing you wrong just brings him out in you, because when you squeeze something, what's in it comes out. So when you're pressured and you're squeezed, what's in you should be revealed. So when you squeeze a Christian, Christ should just ooze forth. When you put somebody in a pressure cooker and you squeeze them tighter and tighter and the devil says, squeeze them again, it should be to his demise, because the more you squeeze, the core of who's in me should come out of me. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Come on, if you squeeze an orange, you expect orange juice, right? If it was apple, that'd be weird. You'd call her. She'd say, what were you drinking? It wasn't apple juice. If you squeezed an orange, you'd spit it out if it was apple juice because you squeezed an orange.
Right.
It would be weird if you squeezed an orange and apple juice was in the cup. Why isn't it weird when you squeeze a Christian and everything but Christ comes out? Man, that ought to be so weird.
Somebody got shot over there.
That ought to just be so weird. Squeeze a Christian and get anything but Christ. The only reason we get something outside of Christ is because we haven't been taught these things are even possible, that they're even so. We've made our Christianity at large. I'm not saying this house. I'm talking the body of Christ at large. We've emphasized what we can get from the Lord instead of how we can become more like Him. So instead of carrying the honor of His character and integrity in the midst of a perverse generation, we're just looking for His blessings. And there's a lot of subtly discouraged Christians. They're just down in their heart. They feel like they haven't gotten a fair shake, or they're wondering where You've been, Lord, or why haven't I gotten this yet, God? And they're making it all about what they can get from Him instead of be changed by Him. So I need to read this and then I'll be done, because He's telling me a quarter after. So I'm doing really, really good today. I'm just so excited. Look at, if you have a Bible and you want to, verse 17 of Ephesians 4, if not, just listen carefully. This I say, therefore, Ephesians 4, 17. There's some people getting there. I'll just hang out for you.
So I'm finally reading a scripture. Isn't that amazing?
Quoted a few. Well, actually, if you want to just have fun with this, because I have 5 minutes. He gave us apostles and prophets in verse 11 and some evangelists and pastors and teachers. The reason He gave us these graces, these gifts and graces of gifts, is to reproduce and multiply that gift and grace in the body of Christ, right? It's not so that we can see a gifting and build a conference around the gifting so that gifting ministers to 1,000 believers. It's so that that gifting imparts and multiplies for the work of the ministry. That's the real reason. We just went conference crazy and we put gifts on pedestals to minister to everybody instead of reproduce everybody. You guys follow me? And if we're not careful in that message, then it's just a few folks that flow in a few things. And that's not cool. Okay, for the equipping of the saints, not sinners, the equipping of the saints, not sinners. That's awesome. For the work of the ministry. So it's possible to be a saint in the sight of the Lord, huh? Man, you look up the word saint once. Jesus a favor and say, that's what the blood did for me. I'm going to walk in the honor of that. That's a joy. Just accept it and say yay. Yeah. Hi. You came in the room.
It was obvious. So good. You just lit up the room, Tracy.
He said, oh, he's preaching good news. Now I'm coming in. For the work of the ministry, for the building up, right? The edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. Now watch. Till we all. He cares about every one of us. He's not saying, well, if they don't get it, they don't get it. Fine, there's the door. Till we all. He cares about all of us, guys. Till we all. He died once for all. He said, if any man be in Christ, that means every man's invited. Come on, don't you get on a pity trip and a thing, and don't you start. Sometimes the highest grace people reduce themselves to is that somebody else seems to care. Now that Christ has shed His blood, that is a big compromise. To just draw from somebody in the natural that at least they care. To be deceived to the point that you just, the highest grace you can receive is the fact that somebody cares. Come on, Christ shed His blood for you and rose from the dead. I think somebody cares. Are you following? Come on. Now watch. Till we all come to the what? The unity of faith. It's different than uniformity. The unity of faith. All understanding and realizing the same revelation. So in our different giftings and our different callings, I mean, you guys up here worship the music and just the keyboards and the vocals and the bass and the drums and all that's going on, the trumpet. I mean, I can't play any of that stuff. So they got a diversity of giftings and skills and talents in the Lord that I don't have anything of, right? But watch, that doesn't make us different in the sense of the unity of faith, because faith, we're all going to wake up for the same reason and use those things for the same cause, to bear witness of His image and to manifest love. So some love children, some just have a heart for the elderly, some the homeless, some just missions burn in their heart. That doesn't make us different. We all wake up for the same reason, to bear witness of His image. So in the faucet of grace that you feel burning in your heart, you get up and you live that faucet of grace in the image of God. You see what I'm saying? And watch this. So we come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a complete man. So it is possible to see you've been made complete in Christ, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, trickery of men, cunning, crafty, deceit, and plotting. We always think that's just wicked people sneaking in the church. Wonder if it's demonic mindsets? Wonder if it's the wisdom of the world, the way that seems right to man, and all the stuff that hasn't produced life that stumbles people when they're doing good? See, once I come to the unity of faith and the understanding of the knowledge of the Son of God, those things won't stumble me anymore. So my goal is to know Him. Amen? You guys following this? Now watch. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in Him, grow up in all things into Him who is the head, and He's Christ. Talks about the body edifying itself and everyone doing their part. Now look at verse 17. This is what I want to read, and I'm closed. I'll be just about on time. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the... Now see, you can hear this legalistic and go, oh man, I got to make sure I don't sin or something. No, what he's saying is it's a sanctification. Separate yourself. Man, I used to live in a wisdom that's the way that seems right. It's a wisdom of the world. I'm going to be renewed in the spirit of my mind. I'm going to separate myself from this thing. I'm going to come out from among them. He has delivered me from the power of darkness and translated me in the kingdom of the Son of His love. He has changed my mind. Do you get it? Come on. Remember how I said earlier, if what you're thinking doesn't build you up or edify you, it cannot be Jesus. Cannot. Now watch. I'm no longer going to walk as the rest of the Gentiles. That just means people without a covenant, people outside of communion with the Lord. Watch this. The Gentiles walk. How do they walk? In the futility of their mind. Having their see, this is all about mindset and what you see and what you don't see. This isn't about some blue mist coming and, or God just landing and giving you a wake-up call. This is about you seeing and in all you're getting understanding to where your eyes see. You get it? Listen to the language. It sounds like the war's right here. Well, yeah, but I just don't think. Yeah, but you don't understand, brother. Yeah, but, I mean, I hear what you're saying, but you ain't in my shoes, man. That's what he's talking about. Because that kind of thinking is going to give you permission to remain the same, even though remaining the same is destroying you. Why do you need a reason to remain the same when you have every reason for change and it takes faith, see? So if you relate to feelings, you'll be more apt to stay there. But faith says, wait a minute, that can't be God. That can't be who I am. I have to be more than that. And you step aside and live by faith. You say, yeah, but I don't feel like He loves me. He has to love you. He already died. He's not coming. He already came. I mean, He's coming again someday, but He already came and died. So the I love you is settled. Yeah, but I don't feel love. Who says you have to right now? Believe He loves you. And let Him give you a stewardship of the revelation of His love. But you believe it because Christ was crucified. You get it?
Well, I just wish You'd lay hands on me and I would feel His love.
Stop it. The best thing you can teach yourself is believing the Word of God. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. See, when your understanding's darkened, the life of God, wow. Because of the ignorance. See, there's not ignorance in us. Even if you just walked in here this morning, you've got something now to convict you. Holy Spirit has a voice in your life in an area. Amen? of the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling has given themselves over to lewdness to work all kinds of see the tragedy of sin and living apart from God. Watch. But you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which is growing corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now look, I'm not that man anymore. I used to desire those things, and sometimes those things feel like they'd be pleasant, but that's a lie. God, I thank you. You've made me more than that, and you've grown me apart from that. God, and all of a sudden, watch, and you put on the new man who's created according to God's, that means his image. You can find that in Colossians 3 as well, in true righteousness and what? Holiness. So that's your calling, guys. That's why I just wrapped up with that, because I wanted you to see that. The whole reason we're on the earth is for the image of God. Anything less is going to step you out of the grace that's there to accomplish that. Amen? So I'm doing pretty good on time. I'm backing down here, and we got the rest of the day together. Go ahead, David, Pastor. Jump up there, buddy. What is that?